we found there was a certain amount of lack of leadership on various levels with the military, with the police, and with the civilians on leading from the front when the fighting started. And when thousands and thousands of IDPs moved from the POC sites into UN House, breaking the gates, breaking and looting accommodation and containers. Then, you know, at that moment, you need the leadership on the various levels, leading from the front, leading by example, to take care and take charge of the situation. That is on the issue of the protection of civilian sites, the POC sites. Then on the findings of terrain camps, so to speak. During the day, there was a lot of heavy fighting around UN House. And this terrain camp is on, let's say, 1.5 kilometers away from UN House, secluded area. On that road was heavy fighting, tanks, artillery was used, mortars, heavy machine guns, even attack helicopters. So it was not easy, or I would say almost impossible, to get out of the camp.
Is it true that some of the UN peacekeepers left their posts?
During the fighting, there were a number of peacekeepers who abandoned their post and moved back to their main location. They were sent back at a certain moment, and then when heavy fighting the next day started, they abandoned their post again. Some of them did very well, others did not very well, and therefore were very much criticized in the press and criticized by the local population and humanitarian colleagues.
And going back to terrain.
Going back to terrain camp. So when the situation deteriorated late afternoon, it became more and more clear that something drastically and terrible was happening there. And at a certain moment, you know, the fighting died down on that road. At the end of the day, the National Security Service and other elements from the government extracted the majority of the people from terrain camp. But when the evening fell, it became clear that three people were left behind. Well, you can imagine that if you have been tortured, raped, gang raped and beaten up, and you have to stay for the night on your own in that terrain camp, that is unimaginable. And the criticizing of the special investigation is that at least one should have tried. Of course, the situation was still dense and tense, but at least one could have improvised and tried to do an extraction, and not to postpone it till the next morning. And the next morning, the plans fell through, and then a local private security firm had to step in and extract the three victims that had to stay overnight there.
The issue of sexual violence was a major concern during the flare-up of fighting in July. What does your report say about that?
Well, there were a number of issues in the press that there was a number of issues of sexual violence that happened under the nose of people standing on the berm of those POC sites and doing nothing to stop this. We investigated that and checked it with video footage that was from the place where it was supposed to have happened. The investigation could not come to a conclusion that it happened exactly at that place, and as a consequence, that it happened under the nose of or under the watchful views of people who were standing there. We have no doubt that it happened, but that it happened under the nose of, that we could not come to a conclusion.
Just to clarify, what does the mandate allow these peacekeepers to do? For example, if they do have to intervene, what does it say in terms of...
They have a mandate to protect civilians under imminent threat. And if people are threatening civilians, then you can use force up to deadly force to prevent that to happen. And you can take action, and you are supposed to take action. Because if you don't take action, the local population and the humanitarian colleagues say, why are you here? If you don't take any action, we're better off without you than with you. And that is very painful, because that's not why we have deployed a peacekeeping force there.
What finding were you most shocked by?
Well, the finding that at the end of the day, at the beginning of that evening, that with the knowledge that three victims were still left behind in terrain camp, and that the decision was made to lift it, the extraction, to the next morning, was for the whole team the biggest shock.
What more could and should the transitional government of South Sudan have done to alleviate the crisis?
We have now focused all the time on the reaction of the United Nations, but the people who are guilty of the whole thing is the government forces, because the SPLA and some other elements of the government forces carried out the attack in Tarin Camp and were, you know, responsible for the fighting between the two groups and the fact that the United Nations was in the crossfire. And they were responsible for the rapes that took place after the fighting had stopped in the period of, let's say, between the 12th and the 25th of July. That is, SPLA were raping on a mass scale at checkpoints, etc. So the transitional government should immediately investigate and get the perpetrators and get them into court, because they are responsible for the safety and security of their own people.
To what extent do you believe the reputation of the UN has suffered because of this conflict?
I think that the reputation of the UN has suffered a lot. I mean, the fact that this happened and that there is such an outcry of, why didn't they do anything? Why are they all inward looking? Why are they not coming out? Why are they not coming out during the night? Why were they not protecting the warehouse of the World Food Programme? And why were they not pushing to see if their freedom of movement was tested and challenged? That erodes the confidence and the trust in the UN and the UN peacekeepers. And that is very painful.